There is in our history many persons who have manifested great wisdom in their lifetimes of service to our country. We are going to read a few of their quotes, see if you think they are wise or not. Benjamin Franklin is the most quoted American, and we repeat his maxims without remembering the source. And I'm sure that you will know some of these. And I want you to finish them with me, okay? Finish them with me. So, God helps those. Perfect. Time is? Money. We didn't know that one as well, okay? Fish and house guests stink after 3 days. I know, that one's brilliant. Not to mention early to bed. Makes a man. Perfect. I had not heard this one, so you may not know it either. These are all scraps from the table of wisdom that, if well digested, yield strong nourishment to thy mind. I thought it was quite clever. The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs, you know this one, that God governs in the affairs of men. This is a beaut one. Good advice on dieting, as if he would know. He was quite rotund. Eat to live, not live to eat. Many dishes, many diseases. See? Perfect for what we're doing. Cheese and salt meat should be sparingly cut. Now, if you don't know the end of this quote, I don't know where you've been living. But I want you to say it with me. An apple a
day
keeps. Excellent. Now, these quotes were obviously written many, many years ago, but I don't know. It seems to me that it still holds quite a bit of wisdom for us today. One of my favorite historical figures is Abraham Lincoln. And I had the privilege of going to his home in Springfield, Illinois, and seeing the bed where he slept, oh, I'm telling you, it put my king bed to shame, because you know he's quite tall. The furnishings are original, and some have been rehabbed. In fact, his bed was so big that it, in the bedroom itself, the only place you had, whoops, I've got to stay on the mic. See, this is what happens when I don't put the ear thing on. The bed was so big that you had like that far to walk to get into the other room where his wife was. You know, because I think it was like 7 or 8 feet, wasn't it, love? Yeah. Anyway, I digress. He seems to have been a very wise man, and I share with you some of my favorite quotes. He was a self-educated, Bible-reading man whom I believe was blessed of God. "My concern," said Abraham Lincoln, "is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." Excellent. "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe." This one's quite interesting. It says, "I don't like that man. I must get to know him better." "Be sure to put your feet in the right place, then stand firm." "Wisdom is the ability to live life with distinguished proficiency. It is living life with the skill to navigate through the tough stuff. Wisdom helps us to make sound decisions and have appropriate boundaries that keep us safe, out of trouble and danger." I think Galen needed to know that when he was a little bitty kid, don't you? "It enables us to parent our children, conduct our finances, and strengthen our relationships. Wisdom teaches us to hate evil and to love what is good." If you were to think back on someone who was wise in your life, whom would it be? Perhaps your parents, a teacher, a pastor, a friend, someone that we relied on to share good counsel with us. Of course, we know that wisdom comes from God and not people. But those who work and walk closely with him can be good advisors when we need help. No one should avoid getting good advice when it's needed, and going first to God, then to godly humans, will lead us in the right decisions. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I like those. God gives the gift of his wisdom to draw us to himself, to make us like him, and to accomplish his work on earth through us. Nothing is more valuable in this life than God's truth. It would be well for us today to open our Bibles to see what God has to say about wisdom. Our responsive reading says that we are to search the scriptures, and we are going to do that today. Thinking about wisdom, we automatically turn to Proverbs. Now, I have all mine typed out written, so it make it go a little bit faster, but if you would like to look them up for yourself, look up Proverbs 4, 5, and 6, Proverbs 3, 13, and 14, and Proverbs 7 to 9. But I'm going to read them from here, and you can just follow along. Some of the translations may not be exactly the same. Proverbs 4, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man and woman, of course, who gain understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. So what does this scripture mean? And it's very similar, did you notice, to the one that we just read? And it seems to me that when scriptures repeat, it must be important. So let's see. Happy can be translated, oh, the blessedness. Solomon says that a person who finds wisdom is blessed because wisdom is better than gold and silver. We have learned in scripture that there is no happiness apart from holiness. Proverbs 4, 7 to 9. Wisdom, again, we're going to hear this again, so it must be really important. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Again, another scripture that has very similar instruction. We need to ensure that we're listening to these words of wisdom. Now, is there anyone in our congregation this morning who loves statistics? Any hand? Do you like all the numbers? Oh, yes, I knew you would. Okay, I hate numbers, but just because I know some of you like numbers, I went and had a little chat with Mrs. Google, and this is what I learned. I learned that in the Bible, wisdom and wise is mentioned quite a lot. So before I give you the answer, I want to see if any of you would like to take a stab at guessing. How many times do you think? Wisdom and wise. Oh, that's a lot. Well, let me just say it's less than that. Okay, so any other guesses out there? A little bit less. Well, let me help you. Okay, wise is 344, and that's both in the Old and the New Testaments, and wisdom is 367. So that's a lot of time that's given to wise and wisdom. And 800 is kind of right if you put them together. Benjamin Franklin was very clever, and he was a self-taught man. He had many gifts and talents that were put to good use in the New World. So let's listen to some of those accomplishments. Are you a bit of a history buff like I am? My favorite is American history. I love it. I had the privilege of going to Boston, Galen and I, and we went to his gravesite in downtown Boston. Incredible guy. All right, just take a little listen to some of the things. They are quite incredible. He was a talented legislator, diplomat, author, journalist, and that was just to name a few. As I was looking through the books, looking for his sort of accomplishments, there was like a whole page. He was recognized as the giant of both the Continental Congress in what year? 1770, yes. That drafted the Declaration of Independence and the Convention 11 years later that framed the Constitution. Exactly. Franklin was the only signer of all five documents that created America. It was his devices as an inventor, his improvements as a civic leader, his findings as a scientist, his popularity as a writer, that led his contemporaries to believe that he could just tackle anything, solve any problem. That's quite a resume. So then I think we need to go to the place of, so where do you reckon he got all that wisdom? Absolutely. Who gave all that to him? I believe it was God. And I believe that God provided it for him at the right time in the right place. And I quoted earlier that Franklin himself believed that God governs in the affairs of men. And I think if we were maybe to sum up something that was perfectly wonderful about him, is that he was optimistic and willing. Did you catch that? Optimistic and willing to undertake these large jobs. James 3:13, if you'd like to look this one up, and I'm reading from the NIV. Who is wise, understanding among you? Let them show it by their good deeds, by their life done in the humility that comes from wisdom. I love that connecting of that. Humility and wisdom go hand in hand. Job 28:12 says, but where can wisdom be found? And in verse 28 of the same chapter, it says, behold, which means listen, check it out, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So where is wisdom found? God, exactly. And I believe that there is a challenge here for us today. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that is found in Luke 6:45. Okay, another question. You like answering questions? When we think about wise, whom do we normally think of? And in this setting, it would be Solomon, yes? I suspect that we would acknowledge him as the wisest man who ever lived, right? But did you know that the wisest man who ever lived got given a blank check? God gave it to him. Remember the story? He was given carte blanche by the one for whom nothing is impossible. And God did something for Solomon, and I think, to my knowledge, there's nowhere else in the Bible this occurred, that he had never done it before and he's never done it again. But what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. He asked for wisdom, which is not just a matter of the head, but also a matter of the heart. And we could not hear a sermon on wisdom today without including one of the most simple and famous scriptures, James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I'm quite relieved. I actually ask for it a lot in my work. I need it. How can I help others if I am not discerning? I can't do it. So that is one of my go-to scriptures. Give me the wisdom to know. How can I help someone who's hurting? How can we bring peace in the midst of trauma? And God is gracious to me because he provides it for me as I can help others who are suffering. All right, so we're glad that God provides that for us. Are we not? Can we all say amen to that? Absolutely. But we're just going to look at a couple of other wise things. You've probably heard of this one. One of the most groundbreaking, far-reaching, and wise judicial opinions ever handed down by the Supreme Court is the Miranda decision, which determined that every criminal suspect had the constitutional right to be advised of the ability of counsel. Under the Miranda ruling, police officers are required to tell suspects, and if you're like me and like mysteries and policemen, you probably know it by heart, you have the right to remain anything you can and will against you. See, I knew you would know it. We should consider exercising the right to remain silent more often in everyday circumstances. Many times it is the wisest to say nothing at all. Someone once said, a wise man is one who thinks twice before saying nothing. People are always putting in their 2 cents worth, often say things that are worth about 2 cents. We need to be wise with our words. Romans 12:2 says, we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to ask God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. And that was Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. We want to be sure that we are wise in our choices of seeking God and bringing forth good treasures of our hearts. We need to be wise with our actions and our thoughts. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 9, 10 and 11. Do you know this when you're a little kid? That's where I learned it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, for by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. Solomon has revealed for us very clearly how our days can be multiplied and our years increased. If we break down the text, we see 3 components of a long life: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Perhaps we might suggest then that while foolishness can lead to early death, wisdom is the key to a long, blessed life. We need to be wise in our commitment to our God, and pursue a life of faithfulness to God. Praise him for sharing his wisdom with us and graciously blessing us as we live according to it. Perhaps if you're like me, you've made some poor choices or decisions, unless I'm the only one. I sort of don't think so. Decisions, and good ones, can be a challenge at times. Choosing to be more mindful or less spontaneous about our decisions will keep us from the more earth-shattering ones and keep us on the right path. Sometimes we are held captive by the decisions we made when we were young, and the consequences are high. We are held accountable for the things that are poor decisions. Gratefully, we gain understanding because the Lord gives it to us. Remember, we read earlier, ask for it. He's never going to say no, not to that. He's not even going to say, wait a while. He wants us to walk in his wisdom. We will please him as we should, and in his grace, he will see to it that our lives are blessed and that honor comes our way. We are exhorted to keep our guard up. We do not wish to let Satan to lure us into living foolishly. We need to be wise with our decisions. There are more than 30,000 self-storage facilities in America, providing over 1 billion square feet of storage for our stuff. In the 1960s, this industry did not exist. Now, here's another one of those number things. Okay, anyone want to like venture a guess on how many dollars Americans spend a year to store their excess? Okay, help me out. Give me a number. Pull a number out of the sky. What do you reckon? 2 million? Up a little bit, please. More? More? 12 billion dollars. Mrs. Google was yet my friend. And $12 billion a year to store our stuff. So then the question is, are people happier? You reckon? They are stressed? We might say we. We work long hours to get where the rich fool was. You remember him in Scripture? I'm going to build these big barns and they're going to make them bigger and more beautiful. And what happened that very night? The Lord called, didn't he? And said, your life is over. And of course, he perceived that all of that wealth was going to bring him happiness. See, here's the thing. Jesus is counterculture. We've always known that, eh? Jesus' message is very different. Do not lay up yourselves treasure. You heard that one before? But work to be rich in God's eyes. Don't worry about life, food and clothes and other things. And then for some of us, that's a bit hard. I'm a big fan of clothes and shoes and food. And it's okay. We all have to have those things to live. But what God is saying, let that not be your passion. Life is more than that. Spend your life, spend my life, seeking the kingdom first. We need to be wise with our possessions. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. You all know this one. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It happened in the 2004 Summer Olympic Games in Athens. American sharpshooter Matt Emmons was almost reassured of the gold medal in the 50-meter rifle competition. His margin was so great that he thought, oh, I've got that in the bag. He couldn't lose. On Matt's final shot, he peered through the scope. He aimed carefully and he pulled the trigger. Bullseye! Strangely, however, the judges all started shouting. Matt had inadvertently shot the wrong target. He finished eighth, far from the gold medal he had anticipated. The lesson learned: you can't score points for hitting the wrong target. We must be wise in keeping our eyes on the correct target, which is Jesus Christ and He crucified. We are promised an abundant life. We are promised the gift of wisdom. Today, let's ask God for the skill to live life His way instead of our own and live with distinguished proficiency.